Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Here at Fox Sports Knoxville, you can check out all the ways that can help out your vehicle at MatlockTireService.com. They've got four area locations: Athens, Lenoir City, Maryville, and Knoxville. It's MatlockTireService.com.
Matlock Tire, going the extra mile for you.
I like Houston's better.
That's actually a slogan, though.
Yeah, he likes mine better. Sorry.
No, you can keep saying that. That's good. They will go the extra mile. I've personally experienced that. Yeah.
Interesting story here on the Big Lead. Wow.
Is this the topic that you hated on the other day when I tried to bring it up?
Yeah, because now we finally got some juice. In a taped conversation that was not allowed into evidence, Adidas' Merle Code and Kansas assistant Curtis Townsend discussed the recruitment of Zion Williamson, who wound up at Duke. In arguing for admission, a transcript was read by Code defense attorney Mark Moore. A thread. Code, hey, but between you and me, he, talking about Zion, asked about some stuff. I know what he's asking for. He's asking for opportunities from an occupational perspective. He's asking for cash in the pocket, and he's asking for housing for him and his family.
Hearsay.
I've just got to try to work and figure out a way. This is the coach from Kansas now.
That's what it takes to get you to an Adidas
Because
school.
If that's what it takes to get him here for 10 months, we're going to have to do it some way. Kansas, of course, did not wind up signing Williamson. Duke did. And while nothing that happened at trial Wednesday implicates Duke directly, are we really supposed to believe that Krzyzewski didn't know that Williamson or someone representing him was asking for jobs, cash, and housing in exchange for his commitment? If Duke or Kansas actually made such an offer for Williamson, we don't have evidence of it. But the trial is still going, and this might be the moment that Krzyzewski starts to tune in. It'll also be the moment that this Coach K starts to tune in. Coach Kress, tuning in now to the trial.
Yeah, you're hating on this the other
day. I went into my Phil Hartman. Did you tell? Could you tell?
We can
rest
tell.
In peace. Love, Phil Hartman. Yeah, bud.
It actually,
look at the dookie back there.
It actually got good yesterday when they shared text messages that basically showed that Bill Self knew his runners were paying players.
Yeah, I hate to see it.
Bill Self, Kansas. I mean, we've argued before, Houston, but I think we all agree.
Dude,
Kansas, blue blood.
They're the Alabama of the Big 12.
This is an Adidas conversation. Nike schools are fine.
Nike's about to be brought into this. You realize that, right? They're just laying the groundwork.
So what you're saying, and I just want to make this perfectly clear.
Talking to me or Nate?
You. You're saying
Nate, this is a question
that
for you.
The only way Adidas can beat out Nike, the only way is hundreds of thousands of dollars, houses, and guaranteed jobs. Otherwise, they just want to wear Nikes.
There's some other factors.
Did you hear what Zion Williamson said? I watched it the night he committed to Duke.
Oh, I did too.
SportsCenter.
Because Tennessee had just beaten South Carolina, and that's exactly right
after. I don't
after.
Remember this.
Tennessee beat South Carolina in basketball.
What did he say?
South Carolina.
Because Frank Martin was like, oh, I'm
South Carolina,
go watch,
Clemson, and Duke.
This is so good, I won't even taste this as I drink it.
Were the final three that it came down to.
I lied.
And Zion Williamson picked the Dukies and said it's because
hashtag
of
the brotherhood.
The brotherhood. Basically, that I'll have my job and my house and my whole life set for life.
That's how it works when you go to Duke. You're taken care of for life.
Yeah. Ask Corey Maggette.
He's fine.
You all right over there? Oh, not a good face.
I'm great. Duke's going down. And so am I. Oh, it's brutal.
No, it's this is like college basketball may survive, but anybody that cares about like integrity, I mean, if you thought there was any in that game, like, just forget about it. In fact, there was a really good article I read late last night talking about how Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski have missed, they've airballed their attempt to be leaders through this scandal. Roy Williams
came out. That's because they're involved.
Well, the point was it would be better if they would come out and say, we know this stuff goes on. You know, if they would hedge a little and admit some culpability as a sport.
Tattle on the sport. Well,
basically say, yeah, this happens. This is how we try and limit it from our program. That would have been better than Roy Williams coming out and going ostrich head in the sand and saying,
I know nothing about that.
I've never heard of this world. I've never been a part of this world. And the evidence that the writer brought up, which I think is very telling, is that 20 years ago, Roy Williams got mad at Billy Donovan for landing Mike Miller at Florida when Roy Williams was at Kansas and basically accused Donovan of cheating to get Mike Miller, and now says he's never seen this world. Well, I mean, it's just an absolute lie. Like, Roy Williams is a liar, and he is the Jiminy Cricket, I never cuss Roy Williams. You know? I mean, he's a flat-out liar. He might think he's Goody Two-Shoe, and he might want to play that card with his, you know, Chapel Hill ivory tower, but Roy Williams is a liar, and I don't know about Mike Krzyzewski yet.
He only ever tells the truth.
I want to hear more from what Coach K has to say, because Coach K is... A lot of people think he's kind of like a good, nice guy. He's never said that. He's kind of like the Peyton Manning of coaches. Like, people think Peyton Manning's a good guy, but Peyton Manning has never tried to really be that. Like, Peyton Manning's brothers make fun of him because they're like, people think you're such a nice dude, you know, but Peyton's fun and ornery and, you know, makes fun of people and whatever. You know, like, he's just real.
Let the record show, I did not make this comparison.
How dare you besmirch Peyton.
Coach K is more real than Roy Williams. Like, Coach K will, you know, F you up one side and down the other. Like, he doesn't try and put out this persona of, like, I'm Jiminy Cricket good guy. I don't cuss. I get 4-year players. I do everything the right way. Like, Roy's just full of it at the moment. Coach K said something the other day. I haven't checked it out. I want to hear more from what he has to say. But Bill Self, done.
He, judging by this article, he probably said something like, we're not really paying attention to the trial. It doesn't concern us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I'm just guessing based on the tone of this article. So, to come to Kansas, I need money. Kansas, blue blood, to your point. Yeah. Another blue blood.
Mm-hmm.
Money, jobs, a house for me and a house for my parents. To go to Duke, I need to feel the brotherhood.
Coach K said college hoops are, quote, actually pretty clean.
Compared to what?
That's
cartel? Like, that's that's such a vague, what's, compared to
question.
What? Compared to what? Compared to the mafia? Compared to the NCAA as a whole? Like, what is he talking about? That was it? That was all he offered?
I'm pulling all up right. The whole quote.
No, it's fine.
He said, I think college basketball is actually pretty clean. He said that to ESPN on Monday.
He's referring to Rick Barnes and the boys.
I really haven't followed it that much, talking about the trial. I think it's minute. I think it's a blip. It's not what's happening. We haven't lost guys because someone cheated. I haven't paid attention to it because I haven't been affected by it.
What did he say? We haven't lost guys what?
We haven't lost guys because someone cheated.
Because we cheat better than them. I haven't been affected by it because I cheat better than anybody. We can offer more. We are Duke. Do you know how much money we have? Do you know how many resources we have?
Let the record show that's not part of Coach K's quote.
Yeah, because there was somebody out there who believed that.
There were text messages. I don't have the article in front of me. There were text messages to Bill Self from the handler that said, like, DePaul is offering this kid, you know, $100,000.
Name is $200,000.
It was DePaul and some other smaller school.
Right.
And And they're like, can you believe this, the world we're in? And Bill Self basically is like, yeah, isn't this crazy? You know, this is nuts.
I think that said, for Billy Preston?
I think he said, we'll be okay.
But we're all good here.
Yeah, yeah, we're all good here. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that for Billy Preston? Do you know?
Maybe. There was the what's the Sosa kid or whatever? That's the one that's been, you know. And then DeAndre Ayton apparently was offered all kind of stuff from all these different schools. Hmm. So, of course, he ended up at Arizona where we know they cheated to get him.
Sad.
Hate to see it. College basketball being turned upside down. Do you think Duke emerges scot-free here?
Yes.
In the end?
Absolutely.
Okay. They probably will.
If North Carolina can get away with what they did,
yeah,
then Duke's fine.
We'll see. Paper trail. We'll see where it leads. That's all I'm saying.
It's the tricky thing is
if Duke goes down, everybody else goes down too.
The fake university was for all students. It wasn't just basketball.
That's what they used. That's how they got out of
it. They didn't pay those kids. They just kept them eligible.
The thing that's weird about the case is that the reason this stuff wasn't put into evidence is because it's an FBI trial. They don't care about paying players. It's not illegal.
Yeah, they're just worried about tax fraud.
They're just worried about the money. So this testimony that a kid was offered money, like, they don't really care. They only care if where actual money went and, you know, if it was laundered or, you know, whatever. Not paid, not taxed, all that kind of stuff. Hmm. So it's, I mean, the NCAA will be able to, as long as nothing too bad comes out, they'll just sweep it under the rug. Everybody will roll the balls out and here we go. NBA opening night was last night. Basketball season already begun.
Yay. Love NBA talk right when the season starts.
Feels a little early.
Nothing better.
It's still like 80 degrees here.
Nothing better.
Still
got to
go mow the grass.
That's what I did all day yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
All day.
Sorry.
All day.
Didn't mean to bring that up.
Like 9 hours in the yard.
No way.
I swear.
That small yard?
It was awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. She lives and she goes and she lives for me. Says she lives for me, ovation. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Talked a little bit about the college basketball scandal. You know, the evidence coming out of the FBI trial against Adidas reps. Gatto, Merle Code. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of showing the scuzzy side of college basketball and recruiting and all the money that the shoe companies funnel from the money they make into AAU teams, which ultimately lands with players, parents, AAU coaches, all the influencers, I guess you want to call it, of where these players go to college. Some good news, though, for Tennessee as we turn and kind of look at their basketball season. Intern Parker has informed us that the Southeastern Conference just tweeted out, Grant Williams, your SEC preseason player of the year for the conference.
I mean, is that rare that the returning player of the year would be the preseason player of the year? If he won it last year and he's back, unless there's a super sensational LeBron James type freshman, doesn't it just make sense that he would get the majority of the vote? Okay.
Kind of has to be, right?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, for the most part. Until
you've seen anyone else, I don't know how you could pick anybody but him. Although I will say, I think if anyone wins it from Tennessee this year, I think it'll be Admiral.
Really?
Well, yeah. Here's what the SEC media, they ended up putting in their article whenever it came to like all of their preseason picks. Tennessee junior forward Grant Williams was the choice of the media for SEC Men's Basketball Player of the Year. Auburn's Bryce Brown, Florida's Jalen Hudson, Kentucky's Keldon Johnson, Reed Travis, and P.J. Washington, LSU's Tremont Waters, Mississippi State's Quindary Weatherspoon, South Carolina's Chris Silva, and Tennessee's Admiral Schofield also received votes in the Player of the Year voting.
So Admiral got some votes even.
Listen, I love Grant, and I think he's really good. I think he's going to have a really good year. But if I had to put money on if Tennessee has a player win SEC Player of the Year, who would it be? I'd put more money right now on Admiral Schofield than Grant Williams. If he does what he did over the second half of the season for an entire season, just because of the type of player he is, I think people would be more inclined to give him the wow factor edge over Grant Williams.
Yeah, he was a different player.
He was.
In the second half.
He was absolutely sensational. And, boy, it was fun to watch, and it's going to be fun to watch again, hopefully.
And, again, it's to no surprise, Williams was first-team All-SEC, and Schofield was second-team All-SEC.
I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but I mean, and it really doesn't matter. But when picking the media poll for teams, Kentucky was selected number one. Tennessee came in second.
I have seen that. They're banking on Kentucky doing what they always do, which is reloading with a bunch of really good freshmen. Okay.
Kentucky won, Tennessee two. Bruce Pearl's Auburn team was third.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mississippi State, sense. Florida, LSU, Alabama, Vanderbilt at eighth, and on down the list, Ole Miss wrapped it up.
It is a little weird to say that Grant Williams, returning SEC Player of the Year, yeah, he'll be preseason Player of the Year, yet Tennessee returns their entire roster.
Yeah.
And they give the edge to a bunch of guys from Kentucky that they haven't seen yet. All right.
Well, you said, I mean, if LeBron James was coming into the SEC this year, he might beat out Grant Williams for
right.
Player of the
no,
Year.
Yeah. I just.
Maybe.
No, I think it's safe to say he probably would. It's not new. It's not really surprising, but it's just funny.
I mean, there's only two Kentucky players, though, in the first and second team combined. I mean, so out of the top 12 players in the league, two from Kentucky. And, you know, Tennessee has two. Auburn has two. So, I mean, it's not quite as stacked as it's been. The conference was so good last year as a whole. I mean, the SEC, I remember us doing shows during basketball season, you know, the year before and the year before that, where it's like, oh, gosh, like, once you got into SEC play, it just seemed like every game against every team was always about the same. You know, it was like all these teams are between like 30 and 60 in the country. None of them are really good,
mm-hmm.
but every time you go on the road, it's still a
yep.
tough place to
yep.
play.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, last year the whole thing just kind of changed with the emergence of, you know, Auburn being really good, Kentucky's always good. And of course, Tennessee was a big part of that. And then even the next kind of layer of teams were good also. And yeah, I guess you even had some surprise runs from even some of the bottom half teams recently too.
As far as it goes for Kentucky, really quickly, the one player that they have transferring, and they have one senior that's like actually going to play, and that's Reed Travis, who a lot of people expect to be kind of the missing component for Kentucky. He was at Stanford prior to transferring to Kentucky.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's very good. Returning from last year, you have PJ Washington. We saw what he was able to do. And Nick Richards is going to get a lot more playing time. He's a 6'11", like power forward for him. He'll be mostly playing center. And Quad A Green. Other than that, pretty much all freshmen. And I know they expect Emmanuel Quickly, Keldon Johnson, and Tyler Hero to be really good. But I kind of have to, even with that lineup and having Calipari as the coach, I'm sticking with the Vols.
The only difference is this year, obviously, Tennessee is going to be the team with the target on their back.
Yeah.
And with the expectations. And you can't hide Grant Williams anymore. You can't hide Admiral Schofield anymore. I get it. But, yeah, I'm also kind of excited to see this team step into that challenge because – this doesn't strike me as a team that's going to get a big head, right? That's going to get too confident or be allowed to get too confident by their coach. That seems like a one-game thing, and if it happens, it'll get corrected very, very quickly. Sorry if I sound like I'm talking funny. I've got
sludge on the
gut. But yeah,
doing pretty well.
No,
over there.
No worries. No worries for me.
Yeah,
not about the team being too high on themselves. That's just not a problem.
I feel teams will try to double-team Grant Williams in the post a lot more mm-hmm. this season, but I do feel
it.
Confident with him dishing it out to Admiral or Lamonte Turner. And if you can have – I thought Bone actually shot very consistently throughout the season from beyond the arc last year, but if Bowden steps up and doesn't have – because he kind of had his sophomore slump.
He disappeared the second half of the season. Admiral took off, he disappeared.
But if he steps up and he is consistently shooting at the level we have seen him at times prior to that slump, I mean, that's just dangerous. And you know they're only going to be better on defense. And I'm a very big proponent. Like, a lot of times I'll take chemistry over just pure talent. And I feel like...
But this team has both, right?
Exactly.
I mean, this team has proven talent that play really, really well together. I think that is the perfect blend.
Yeah. I was going more for the team of juniors and seniors versus the
Kentucky,
studded freshmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's the thing. And I'm with you. Like, I love having a veteran team, but I love having a veteran team of also really good players, and I think you've got that with Tennessee. You know, I think Kyle Alexander, he's not as dynamic of a big man maybe as some, but I trust him to guard a lot of people in the post. You know, same with Grant. I mean, he's a machine. Obviously what Admiral's done. And then one of your best players is your sixth man. I think this team's just good and old, and they like each other. So that's what always kind of bums Kentucky fans out early in the year when they have such a big turnover on the roster. Now, generally, they figure it out to some degree. But at first, the players don't know how to compete, really. They're not playing the right way. They're playing for themselves. And then they slowly start to figure it out and get better and get better. But there's no learning curve for Tennessee. All these guys played all year last year together. And then you're going to sprinkle in some guys who have developed, hopefully, like Eth Pons, Derek Walker, Jalen Johnson. And then we'll see what we can get out of what's the big kid from South Carolina?
DJ Burns.
DJ Burns. Maybe DJ Burns can give you something. Although It wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't. It's a good team. You got a good team. I'm excited. And I mean, mention Fulkerson. Let's see if Fulkerson's back looking like his old self.
The season officially starts November the 6th. That's a Tuesday night against Lenoir Ryan. First real big game is, I'd call it Tuesday, November 13th. So you're less than a month away now from, you know, big-time basketball in Thompson Bowling Arena with a team that will have high expectations, high hopes, and that Georgia Tech game leads into the NIT season tip-off, which is November 22nd. They open in Brooklyn at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, November 22nd, going in ESPN2, and then they'll get the winner or loser of Kansas or Marquette.
And, November 6th, also a big day. That's when they have the Champions Classic, so just a good night of college basketball.
There you go. Right around the corner. We'll turn the conversation back. Tennessee's football program, specifically some of the youngsters on defense, are still garnering praise, analytics, really every way you can slice it, for their performance over the weekend and moving forward. And it kind of goes to how Jeremy Pruitt's building the football team as they get set for Alabama, and as he called it, a measuring stick game. We'll spin on that for a minute on the flip side. Stick with us right here. It is 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Talked a little basketball this hour. If you missed any portion of that, you can check it out on the podcast. And we've got Philly on the horn.
Hello!
The McKinney team hotline. Start talking basketball, and the phone line lights up, and it's Philly. What's up, buddy?
Well, you start talking basketball, and then naturally I'll call in.
There you go. If we want to hear from you, we'll just start talking basketball.
My ears were perking up when I heard that Rat Boy outbid Kansas for a basketball player. That kind of perked my ears up a little bit more. I mean, I was kind of, shaving and stuff, and hearing y'all talk about Rat Boy, so I want to get the story straight. So Rat Boy out-recruited Kansas for a player?
Yes, he did, with the Brotherhood at Duke. That's what they call it, whatever that is. The Brotherhood.
Yeah.
At Kansas, they call it cash, houses, and future job opportunities. At Duke, they call it the Brotherhood.
You know, you'll be taken care of.
It does have a nice
ring
to it.
You'll be taken care of. It sounds a lot like
cash.
Sounds a lot like Nicholson in The Departed, you know, would take care of you, son.
Well, I've seen some stuff about this Marvin Bagley Jr. recruitment. It seems like that's pretty dirty. And
he's already gone. He's number two.
He's gone, but it's still out there, though. I mean, there is a statute of limitation on recruiting, but it's just, what was it, 2 years ago he was there?
No, he played for him last year. He got drafted. He's number two overall pick.
Well, okay. They're still tied to the nail for a while. But it wasn't also Kansas implied in this and LSU's implied in it? I mean,
Wade's
in
trouble.
All kinds of stuff going on.
Of course Will Wade's involved. They've had, the best two recruiting classes in the history of LSU basketball the first years he gets there. It's like, duh.
Well, if you're not cheating, not trying.
I agree with that.
I mean, all honesty, guys, let's look at football. I mean, you don't tell me Alabama and Ohio State are
above
board.
No chance.
And we got to get back in the gray area and get our program back to close to that again. I mean, we're not anywhere near on the radar screen.
Whatever it takes.
And hopefully beating Auburn in football will accelerate our recruiting.
Be a little more receptive, Philly, is what we need.
Yeah, especially since a lot of these players were going head-to-head. Auburn's the number one foe for you.
Absolutely.
At least three or four of these players.
Wanya Morris was on a visit to Auburn, Philly, while Tennessee beat that ass.
Do you think they can flip Morris's
Owen Papo?
Teammate? Yeah.
I don't know. That'll be – I mean, I know they're in the mix, but I don't know. It doesn't – at least to this point, I haven't heard much interest from Papo when it comes to Tennessee, and maybe I'm wrong. It seems like he kind of committed to Auburn out of nowhere, and since then I haven't heard much else. That said, I know Wanya Morris is in a lot of his fellow recruits' ears telling them about, you know, what he thinks is going to happen at Tennessee, and I definitely think that the win this weekend – only added some validity to those claims and obviously what the coaches are saying on the recruiting trail.
Did y'all watch that game was on ESPN last week with Morris and a whole bunch of good players in there?
Yeah, I forget who they played. But, yeah, it was he was probably the best one on the field. Him and that kid is going to Clemson, the receiver, Booth, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good.
Well, it just shows you how much better Georgia high school football is than Tennessee high school football.
Not even close right now, Philly.
And I can see why we're down there recruiting in Georgia.
Yeah.
But one more thing I'll get off here is I'm glad Kentucky was picked first in the SEC because I don't want that target on her chest.
I think the target will still be there, but I do think that maybe that adds a little bit of Kentucky's still Kentucky, so they're going to have the aura around them. But I think that could also fuel this Tennessee team in kind of the quiet, okay, so we win it, and you still don't like us, and you're going to go with the new guys. That's fine. Kentucky's Kentucky. We're going to go do what we did last year and take care of business.
Well, I like the key to the team is Jordan Bone. If Jordan Bone does like Admiral Schofield between his sophomore and junior year, and Tennessee have a special year. And y'all keep Barry Bright in line. See ya.
Impossible. It's impossible to do.
God, I can't remember the media member that said, I don't know, like Fran Fraschilla or whatever. He came by and said – he thinks Jordan Bone may not even realize how good Jordan Bone is right now.
I could see it.
He saw him this offseason.
He does, like, I mean, at least as far as how he kind of has his body language, he seems like someone who's not necessarily that confident in his own ability. He might not think that, but that's kind of the persona that he puts off, at least when you're watching him play.
We talked about how he never really attempted to finish around the rim. Even last year when the team was playing really well, he would penetrate and either pull up and take the mid-range jump shot, or he would kind of get towards the rim and then, you know, pass the ball off to a to hopefully a post player, or kick it out for an open look from the perimeter. But yeah, I mean, if he starts slicing and dicing defenses and getting all the way to the rack and is a threat to score and then can draw defenders and kick, you know, when you compare that with what Lamonte does as a sixth man, the way Grant can score around the basket, the fact that Admiral in the second half was knocking down outside shots is still a big presence around the rim also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm with Philly. If Jordan Bone starts playing like a true drive and kick point guard and can, you know, and can add that finishing ability around the rim,
he can get up there.
Oh, he gets there, yeah.
We would see it a few times. It's like he gets there, he gets all the way to the hole, and then he would spaz and either miss the shot or try some weird pass or make a bad pass.
I may be crazy, but I think Bone actually elevates smoother and better than Lamonte.
Not even close. Jordan Bone can soar.
But Lamonte is better at finishing around the rim. Like, it's kind of that recruiting story where Lamonte was – telling the new five-star kid,
Josiah,
like how to lean in, get contact, still be able to finish,
right,
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a good point by Fraschilla. It's like, buddy, you're at the rim. Just drop it in. Maybe that's a confidence thing. Maybe we do see that more. But with his speed and not only how high he gets, but it's like he gets to his peak elevation faster and kind of floats there. You would think he'd be a monster at attacking the rim.
Yeah.
Need you just finish.
I will say, when I was at Auburn this weekend, they kind of had this thing put together just honoring Auburn as the SEC champions. They didn't really mention co-champions or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's another team that also kind of has the target on their back. I mean, I made sure to let everybody in my section know that they were co-champions with the Vols.
That a boy. But
Good man.
They honored Chris Lofton, so I'll let it slide.
That's true.
That is true.
That was nice of them.
Kentucky's been picked to win the SEC for the 14th time since 1998-99. That's a pretty dang good clip. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. We'll talk about Bryce Thompson and where he rates some really good news moving forward for Tennessee's football team on defense, not just this year, but into the future as well as Jeremy Pruitt rebuilds the program. Stick with us. Final segment of a Punishment Wednesday edition of the program.
Chug, chug, chug,
Houston's
chug, chug.
Got that last
chug.
Little bit.
Now, that is picking
it
up.
Go for it. Stuff's gross.
Just a little bit.
Just smell it.
Hurry before the music ends.
Why?
Just to get it over with.
I got to save it for the grand finale.
He's just trying to give you a deadline, I guess.
Actually, why? I don't want you to finish it. What am I talking about? I get money if you don't finish it.
Well, you get like a dollar.
$3.
That's better than $0.
Mm-hmm. You are a poor college student.
I suppose.
Yeah. Well, good news for Bryce Thompson. Pro Football Focus put out their midseason grades for all players, and then they ran an SEC first and second team. Not freshmen, not first-year players, but the entire league. Bryce Thompson came in as a second-team all-SEC cornerback based on the grades.
Based on what grades?
Pro Football Focus. Every player, every play.
So Alante Taylor is allowing the 6 fewest yards per snap in the country. And I told you this yesterday, but Bryce Thompson is grading out as the guy who's going to get the honors. I told you this. I said yesterday, you watch, Alante will be the guy that no one throws at because he's got him locked up, but Bryce will be the guy getting the recognition because they have to throw at him and he's making plays.
Well, this is the one kind of issue, and it's not really an issue. It's just part of the math, I guess, with the way Pro Football Focus grades. If you do your job like the average player at your position on a play, you get a 0. If you do it a little better, then you get a plus 0.5. You can get a plus 1, plus 1.5. It goes up to plus 2.5, although no player ever gets that on any single play. That's the max you could get, though. So Bryce Thompson probably, in some of those wow plays, has...
Yeah, played above and beyond.
...has right. gotten like a plus 1.5, whereas Alante Taylor probably gets a lot of plus 0.5s. And, you know, despite the fact that Bryce Thompson probably has some negatives, like when he missed the tackle against Schwartz on Saturday...
Mm-hmm.
His big plays have out-measured Alante Taylor's just-do-your-job plays.
Tennessee's got 2 really good corners. I'm not worried about it. Alante Taylor, though, he did scoop and score. That's a 1.5. Right? Or 2?
He probably would have got a 0 on that play.
Why?
They try not to grade that way. Like, I mean, any player would have just grabbed that ball.
If he covered the man and then went and, if his man was well covered and then he went and got the fumble.
He's more likely to get a positive grade just covering a receiver that doesn't even get the ball thrown to him if he's in perfect position. I mean, they have to get, the hard part is they have to get the all 22 to do all this stuff, which is a pain. I wish college football would go to the all 22, like just. As an alternate channel all the time, or at least on replay, where you could pull it up. Because sometimes, you can't tell how a corner or safety is playing because the TV feed doesn't have a minute.
Yeah, that's what they need. An all 22.
They do. Mm-hmm. Be nice.
A lot of people would watch that.
You get the Madden angle that the NFL is adopting. You can get it.
That's essentially the all 22, isn't it? The way they use it.
Yeah,
it's overhead.
Just,
it's not
just tighter.
It's not deep in the end zone, right? I'd watch a few games like that.
So that's great news for Tennessee. I mean, corner was – people debated it all offseason, right? Secondary or offensive line, which is going to be worse.
I took the corners. I took corner.
You missed it, I think.
After that first game, I thought maybe I was right, or at least it was going to be close. But Alante and Bryce Thompson, man, they've changed the game.
They have.
They've changed the outlook of the position for the next 2 years, 3 years. You feel pretty good about what you got at corner now.
So what has been Tennessee's biggest deficiency on the defensive side of the ball?
Until the last 2 games, it was pass rush. But you did that a little bit against Georgia, and you certainly did it well against Auburn. Other than that, they've played pretty solid.
I would say safety or nickel, probably for the season, if you think about it. The nickel got torched against West Virginia. The safeties got torched against West Virginia. They did not play well against Georgia. I don't know. I don't know how much you even count the two, UTEP and the ETSU.
Don't.
Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Edge defender, I'm with you, Houston. Other than the last game, even counting Darrell Taylor having a good game against Georgia, it was probably the edge defenders. Because I feel like the interior guys have plugged run holes pretty well. And they've even, like, it was Alexis Johnson, right? They got tackled on a play against West Virginia that really should have pushed them out of field goal range and saved you 3 points in the first half when the game was still in doubt. The refs just completely missed it. But, I mean, the Tuttle, Johnson, Bain. Somebody tweeted
Paul
yesterday.
Bain, yeah. Bain had a great day.
We never mentioned Paul Bain, but he's played well at times. Emmett Gooden's had made some plays.
Yep. They're all starting to develop and come along. It took a little bit, but this is kind of what we said. You want to get better as the season goes on. I think they're doing that.
Man, it's nice to see players get better during the season instead of just stay the same or get worse.
I mean, legitimately getting better during the season. I don't know that we saw that.
No, we haven't.
I mean, guys under Butch Jones, it's like day one is what they were on game, you know, game one was game 12, 13.
Is Butch Jones going to be on the sideline this Saturday? And is he going to be in a place where people are going to heckle him?
I don't think Saban brings
him. So I just looked out into the main room and they've opened the door because apparently it smells really, really bad out there. Did you guys not clean up your mess?
We threw stuff in the trash can.
John Reed walked in and looked like he stepped in a big pile of...
Well, John Reed is...
Did you guys... Does it stink out there? Did you not throw it away outside?
I bagged up the cuttlefish ink immediately after. Mm-hmm. So they're not even having to deal with that smell because it's double bagged in the trash.
They're not having to deal with this smell. Speaking of, I'm finishing it right now.
The only stuff that's out there is like that finishing sauce, but with the lid on, and the ham and cherries.
That
ham
stuff doesn't even smell bad.
That doesn't even smell
bad. Yeah, it's got like a little sweet jelly type smell to
it.
Did
you get it all?
I held it up. If you made it too thick, that's on you.
I think you did fine. Kudos to Chris. He finished with a minute to spare.
Proud of you.
I could have done it a lot sooner, but I did want to finish it on air.
Wait.
Am I wearing it?
No, you're good. You're good.
Uh-oh, is that a stain on your shirt?
Don't do that. He would kill you.
That's not cool. All right. That challenge is done.
I thought you had a black stain kind of on the inside of your lip, but you're good.
I hardly do. Probably cuttlefish cancer.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, that was gross. It was way too thick. It was not water at all. Shame on you both.
That's not.
Nope. Shame on you both. They said water. That was sludge. There's a difference
in
viscosity. It's not a drink.
It has to be a little thicker than water.
A little. That was a lot thicker than water. I didn't complain during it, but I'm complaining now. That was way too thick. In the future, when someone loses the condiment challenge, water. More of it.
More water?
Yes.
I'm glad
heavens,
that
was awful. My stomach hurts so bad. Not as bad as Slider Wednesday, but Condiment Suicide Water Wednesday, this is not a good stomach feel. And the mouth taste is way worse.
Mm.
So all in all, this is not a good challenge. Easily number two behind Slider Wednesday. I don't even know what you guys talked about today. I feel bad. But tomorrow I'll be more involved in the show.
Be back at it Thursday.
I got kicked out
Friday.
Of my own show. I had people laughing at me.
Yeah.
Everyone wants me to vom. Not going to do it.
If you miss any portion of the
not
show.
Not going to do it.
You can rewatch on Periscope and Twitter at Fox Sports Knox. Appreciate
you can also
you guys
do
podcasting.
Me a favor.
What do you need?
I need people to text WR space golf to 31996. That's WR for Wind River. WR space golf. Get your phone right now. 31996. Just send in that text for me for drinking this squid condiment suicide disgusto sludge.
What's the number again?
31996.
319
WR space golf.
31996. WR space golf. Text that to the number.
Do it for me, please.
319-916. We'd appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Fan Run Radio.